What made you realize, you say in your book that you realized 20 people saw you as somewhat different. What made you realize that?
Well, when I first started figuring that out was when I kind of left the little cocoon of Nebraska and my hometown and school and college and whatnot. And, you know, you're in a position where you look for work and you are out in the public and you might be buying groceries and you don't have a couch of a person with you, and you're just kind of on your own now, and people treated me differently, and especially when it came for looking for work and looking for an apartment. You know, I would just notice that people had quite a pause, and they usually had a different viewpoint of me than was really true. I mean, there wasn't a single person who thought I could type, and yet that was my biggest skill. So that's when I first started noticing that, you know, something's different here. And then in college, too, I didn't date much, and I kind of wondered about that, and then I thought, well, no wonder. What would you wonder about? So I started having a clue at about that time.
How did you deal with that? Suddenly people's perception of you really isn't who you are.
Well, I think that I think just like water torture, you know, a little drop at a time doesn't bother you, but over time it drowns you. And I really am tired of that now. It has caused me now to not really want to go out and meet people, which used to not bother me at all. But that's hard to do now. And I've always thought that I can't think of a situation that's more different. The way people think of me when they see me and the stereotype they throw at me compared to the way I really am. There's just such a wide river between those two. And, of course, it takes a while, not a long time, but it takes a while to have a person figure out who you are and know who you are, and then, you know, we have a fun time and long-lasting relationships and friends and all of that stuff. But that initial meeting and that initial barrier to always pound your head against, I have to say at this point, is very old. And it occurred to me just while I was writing my book that I used to think, I can deal with this and I can go through this awkward moment and meet somebody, because as soon as it was like this far off period in the future, like eventually it won't be like this, eventually they'll all get it, and eventually this won't, you know, if you just do the work to educate them now, it will all pay off. And while I was writing my book, I realized it's never going to change. With every new person I meet, it's going to be there. It's going to be like starting all over again. And you can tell that by, you know, the reactions people have. It's just incredible, really, how many people apologize if they've walked in front of me, or if they're, sometimes I think, would you apologize if it was somebody else? It's just kind of incredible, really.
That brings up what you say later on in your book, because you say something about how uncomfortable people seem to be with dealing with someone with a disability and what they do, and they do some really weird, for lack of a better word, weird reactions. What are some of the guidelines that you offer for anybody that feels it's awkward to meet someone with a disability?
Well, I think it is awkward to meet somebody with a disability, especially when you have a disability as pronounced as mine. But I think it's important to realize that person is a person. They're not their disability. And I think that, you know, if you just assume that they're getting to the same place you are, they're just taking a different path, that you won't be so, I mean, honestly, if I'm shopping somewhere, and many times I go to the mall just because I want to decompress, I don't want to hear a phone ring, and I don't want an agenda or a time schedule. I just go to the mall and wander. And it's kind of intrusive when people, you know, interrupt that all the time. But I think that if people just be aware that if a person needs help, they're probably not shy. I mean, no one is going to sit there and hope that somebody through telepathy knows they can't reach the top shelf and they want something off of it. But otherwise, I do this for my own self, and I can see the recognition, and I can see the grateful eyes. I can see a lot of that stuff when I meet a disabled person. We're on the same plane of some sort. It's like, I'm not going to interfere in your ability to do something, but if you need something and I can help you, I know you'll ask for it. That's the biggest thing I think I would pass off to people. And the other thing is that kids, it's an awkward situation with kids because they're usually loud and they're usually, Mom, look at that. They usually will say, her arm is missing or something. You know, very, very awkward situation. And because those kids go to their parents with that, they don't come up to me and say anything. If they did, I think I would probably be able to help them or answer them or say something to them. But they go to their parents, so I feel like it's not something I should interfere with. And so many parents yank their kid away and they're crabby at their kid and, oh, that's not very nice. And I just think there's got to be a better answer because that was awkward for all of us all over again.
In fact, give me a better answer. Suppose you see a parent who's just come in with a kid. The kid points, say, Mom, why? And they ask a loud question. And you really don't want that parent to say, shh, shh, don't say that, and pull them away. What ought the parent to say?
Well, even that is kind of awkward. But I think that some of the parents, if I have something to say to the kids, if they ask me, I can answer them to a satisfactory level that they will understand. And as far as a parent, I think they just have to say things that are real to their age group, whatever age care their kid is. But it seems like anything they say at all would be better than yanking them away as if it's a disease they should never look at. So any, you know, it depends on their age, it depends on the situation, it depends on whether I'm available to ask a question. I'll tell you what, if I meet kids' eyes, you know, if our eyes meet and I smile at them, suddenly they're all better. The kids are a lot better. And the parents many times don't even see that interaction.
A classic case, the child teaching the parent here.
It's like, yes, this is the fact. I don't have an arm. That's true. So there's no reason to snap the kid's head in another direction. But I agree it's awkward. I'm going to start writing blogs with that kind of information in it because I think there are a lot of situations that I could be helpful with. But I just know it's not. It just makes me feel horrible, and I think the kid has no answers at that point. I have this vision that they go home with their kid, and they give this great big long explanation of, and I just have to wonder how much of it even pertains to me or is real, because they're explaining something now they don't even know anything about.